Joining us right now is Dr. Robert Moffitt. He's a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He's also the former Deputy Assistant Secretary for Legislation at HHS, and he's also the author of a bestseller, Why Obamacare is Wrong for America. So who better to talk about Russia interference? Not just kidding. Who better to talk about healthcare than Dr. Moffitt? Good morning, and welcome to Mornings on the Mall. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, Mary. How are you?
Doing just fine. So how is this healthcare bill? Is this healthcare bill fine that has come out from the Senate?
Well, it's not a great bill, I can say that. Yeah. It is a good bill. It's an imperfect vehicle like most of these things. It doesn't go far enough in a number of areas. But I can tell you, Mary and Vince, this is in fact a major improvement over the status quo. No question about it.
How so?
Why? Well, it will reduce premiums. Within the next few years, there's going to be a spike in premiums, according to CBO, in the first 2 years. But by 2020, compared to current law, it will reduce health insurance premiums by 30%, and by 2026, about 20%. CBO says the bill will start to stabilize the individual insurance markets. The bill also provides funding for states to help persons with high premium and out-of-pocket costs, including people who have high health care costs because of pre-existing conditions. It's going to eliminate a whole slew of taxes, including the tax penalties for the employer and the individual mandate. So this is actually going to be one of the largest tax relief bills in memory. And on top of it, it's going to reduce the deficit by $321 billion. So altogether, I'd say that's a rather impressive performance.
You know, Senator Rand Paul is among two senators right now who are opposing the two Republican senators who are opposing this alongside Susan Collins. But Rand Paul's objection to this is that there's only one thing everybody agrees on in the Republican Party, and that's the repeal component. Yet this thing doesn't repeal or replace Obamacare. In fact, Rand Paul says it keeps Obamacare. Do you feel that way?
No. I think what Rand Paul is actually saying is, no, it doesn't repeal all of Obamacare, and he's saying it misses the opportunity to do that. The problem is that if you want to actually get big chunks of Obamacare repealed, you have to do it through the budget reconciliation process, where you need 50 votes plus one. If you decide to go outside of the budget reconciliation process and repeal all of the provisions that don't have a direct budgetary impact, well, you need 60 votes. And the Democrats are not going to give you 60 votes. So, you know, I mean, to me, I think, you know, we cannot break diplomatic relations with reality here. If you're going to use the budget process, you have to basically make sure that the provisions that you have meet the requirements of the Senate rules. That's just the way it is.
I want to talk a little bit about this alternative bill by Senator Graham and Senator Cassidy that they said we're not in competition with the bill from the Senate, but if they can't get enough votes, we're proposing this. And from what I understand, it's basically block grants to the states and allow the states to decide how they want to set up health care in their state. Is that more palatable to a greater number of senators?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea if it's more palatable. I think that it's certainly it's a plan B to say, in effect, look, you know, there's tremendous polarization in this country, deep division on health policy. There has been for years. New York and Utah are not going to agree on health policy. All right. So what he is proposing, in effect, is that if you like Obamacare, you can keep Obamacare. If you want a free market system, you can have that too. It might be, as I say, a plan B. I think, however, in order to move things along, I just hope that they were able to get this done, because this bill actually does do a lot of very, very good things, including an expansion of consumer choice and personal freedom.
Yeah.
With different health care options, plus it beefs up the health savings account program as well.
This Ted, and you're talking about options. Ted Cruz's plan, which has been added to this new bill, will allow consumers to buy plans, as we've been talking about, that are not the government mandated ones. They can buy something with less in it. That seems like it could result in a very quick cost savings to many Americans who feel like, look, I don't need all of the things that you were forcing me to buy to begin with, and I'd rather I'll spend less money. So why not? This plan seems like it should have wide support, but it doesn't, of course.
Well, let me put it this way. It's now part of the Senate bill. I think it's a terrific idea, no question about it. I think there are some technical concerns about how it exactly would work in a common market. But my own view is that there's another piece of this, in my view, that will largely settle this problem, and that is that the bill provides extensive waiver authority for states to regulate those insurance markets. So if the Cruz amendment as added to the bill passes, basically state regulators will be in the business of doing the hard work of making sure that the health insurance markets remain stable and that people will have the widest possible personal choice of health care plans.
Yeah.
I frankly think that's fine. It will make state legislative races very important. Think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for making us smarter on this, Dr. Moffitt. We really appreciate your time. Have a great weekend.
All right, Mary, you too.
That's Dr. Rob Moffitt. He is a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation.